This is the regular meeting of the Improvements Committee of November 3rd, and we will call it to order. Second item on the agenda is comments from the public. Are there any comments from the public?
I do not have any hands raised.
Okay, well then we will move on to reviewing the monthly updates. Paul?
All right. Good morning, everyone. Amelia, if you could scroll down to the updates, please. So I wanted to just touch base a little bit as a tickler that obviously it hasn't rained in a while and there's not a heck of a lot of rain in the forecast coming up. So just wanted to dust off the idea that we may need to call a drought stage if we don't start getting any rain. And so that's what this is written up about, showing that NOAA's outlook for the drought is not favorable. Forecasts are showing that we're potentially may have a dry, fairly dry winter, but you know, as everyone knows, God only knows. So we'll see what happens. But luckily in the past, we've been able to divert all the water we've needed every year. So hasn't been an issue as of yet, but just in case it starts to become one, we'll have to dust off the water shortage contingency plan and possibly call a drought stage. But in wintertime and over the cooler, colder months, people shouldn't be really irrigating anyways. It just causes a lot of runoff and just drainage issues. And it doesn't really affect their vegetation because everything somewhat goes dormant. But that's it in regards to that, unless anybody has any questions. If you could scroll down, Amelia.
Paul, I assume that we put something in the monthly newsletter or something, or we should this time of year, telling people to cut back on their watering. That's kind of a no-brainer.
I believe so, and I believe we have a banner posted in front of the administration building that says something like water with the weather. So, you know, as the days get shorter, nights colder, you don't need to irrigate. And if we don't, we will make sure we do. We typically do.
So. And I'll make sure that gets added into the newsletter.
This is Tom Hennig. I want to add to that discussion that we've requested, and I believe the RMA has done so, that they post something about water wise and don't over irrigate on their message board they have up by the north, by the clubhouse, by the center. So I just a little bit more cooperation we've been having with the RMA. I just wanted to point that out.
Okay. And then moving on with the water treatment plant drying bed project, Amelia, maybe if you could shrink your screen to fit a little more on there. Might be good. So you can see from the photographs provided in the packet, utility staff excavated out the old pipe there and what they had done and started digging and installing the pipe to what it should be and made it even better. Instead of having just two sweeps as shown, if you could scroll down, Amelia. Instead of having two sweeps for collection of the drying bed water. We put in three to make it more efficient and then a clean out at the end of the pipe system. And as shown, we used a slotted well casing pipe, so it has very good flow, and packing that with pea gravel and round rock, and then protecting the pipe with concrete blocks when we're backfilling as well. And as of yesterday, staff did some concrete work underneath where they had to jackhammer out the old pipe to seal the bottom of the basin. And later this week, they'll be backfilling that and getting it back into operation, hopefully by Friday. So they've done an excellent job as it relates to that. As shown in the little drawing there in the color colored section, you can see the blue lines are going to be the new drain collection lines that we're installing with 45 degree sweeps angling towards the direction of flow with the clean out at the end. And so once it's said and done, I'll revise the as-builts to reflect the work we have done. If you could scroll down, Amelia. As it relates to the water rights renewal, our consultant reported that the California Department of Fish and Wildlife is reviewing our historical water use. They review water use data as part of the process of the application renewal. So that's pretty standard. So it's good to know that somebody's actually looking at something already. And on the recycled water untreated water fee study, that's still on hold. We hope to get to that hopefully next month. Chlorine gas, the sodium hypochlorite conversion. So we still have some additional electrical work that needs to be done, running the telemetry wiring to our tertiary pump station, where we're going to have some start and stop controls of a feed pump, and calibrating the new level transmitters. And we replaced some of the old conduit that went to the alum tanks, which is aluminum sulfate used for coagulation. Those were in disrepair, and they were routed within the secondary containment structures, which doesn't make a lot of sense, because if the tanks leaked and filled that, it would just fill the conduits. And so we moved those up and out of there, part of this project as well. So there's still a bunch of work to do on that. And as time permits, we get back to that here and there. And we're going to absolutely make sure that by end of January, we have the system testing with water flowing through the pipes. So that's our goal internally right now, is to have it set up by the end of January, so that when spring rolls around and we potentially need to fire the facility up, we can utilize hypochlorite. On the dam inundation mapping and emergency action plans, I received word that Sacramento County OES has actually gotten the plans, and they're starting the review process right now. So that's good as well. If you could scroll down, Amelia. I haven't gotten really any updates on a lot of the projects. Just a few of them are having their main focus. For example, Lot 4 and 5 project, which is adjacent to the country store where the Starbucks is slated to go in. That has been confirmed as being substantially complete. So as far as construction work is concerned on the Legacy Villas and Suites, there have been some submitted plans and some back and forth with Coastland and the project engineer. And I think there's just a little bit of pending discussion on EDUs, but I think that was actually just finalized recently. So. And I believe the plans have already been signed by Coastland's senior engineer, so they can proceed on construction with those. Scrolling down, Amelia, for Lot 11, which is going to be on the right-hand side, driving in off of Highway 16 if you're heading east. That lot is slated as the Taco Bell Circle K gas station / car wash. There's some planned comments back and forth between Coastland and the project engineer there as well. And I believe that's wrapping up right now. From Murrieta Business Park, there's no update as it relates to anything with what we're doing. It's just they're continuing building there with the goal of being completed by the end of this calendar year. We haven't heard anything out of Murrieta Hills East. And then on the Riverview project, the project has submitted a second submittal of their phase 1A plans, which include a water study and storm drain study. And Coastland's still in the process of reviewing. And my discussion with Coastland last Friday is that they'll have those comments back to the project this week. And I've also been included on some emails with Sacramento County that they're reviewing the drainage plans as well. And the project has conveyed that they'll be setting up a construction trailer this week, just east of Riverview Park, and they'll be setting up their best management practices for stormwater or track outs as it relates to that. So that's it in a nutshell. Any questions, anyone?
Nope.
No questions. Marty, anything?
No questions.
Okay. So let's move on to the next item on the agenda, review the RFP for engineering services. I don't have anything in my packet to review. Did I miss something?
Yeah, so I had provided a memo and RFP draft, but we're going to hold that off, I guess, until next month. The long and the short of what I had in my memo was that we had ratified the Coastland contract, which was a 3-year contract, this past July because it had expired back in April of this year. And so we need to go back out to bid for engineering services. And this was starting the process to do so. And so we still have Coastland's contract good through next April. But in the meantime, we're intent to go out the bid before that expires and be prepared for having engineering services lined up prior to construction really kicking off in the springtime. So that's our goal. So we apologize. We don't have anything posted here in the packet, but we will for next month.
Randy, this is Tom Hennig. Can I chime in for a minute?
Uh-huh.
When we had ratified the agreement that had gone back to April of 2019, and so we did a 2-year extension for the Coastland contract back in July. And at that time, we informed the board that we were going to go out to bid in the near future. And so I didn't think it was really necessary prior to putting the RFP out and getting responses back and letting district staff do their work before we come back to the committee. It's since we've already informed the board that we're going out to bid, I wanted to just do our job and then bring it back to the committee once we have bidders that want to, replace Coastland come April. And we may even time it differently to try to get the new engineering team, if there is a new engineering team on board ahead of the spring construction. So Coastland's not having to do partial reviews and then turn over their work to another engineering firm. So it's just kind of a process of trying to do our job as staff to the board in the right sequence of things. So I made that call this morning to not publish it and to allow us to release it in the next few weeks and come back to the committee when we have responses, valid responses. That's all.
So what is the process for advertising the RFP? Do you have a list of engineering companies that have shown interest, or do you go public somehow? How does that process work?
We go public. We go to the CSDA website. I'll ask Paul to go to some of the engineering organizations that work in civil public engineering. And that's pretty much how it goes. I mean, once we put it on the CSDA website, that's the Special Districts Association website in California, the engineering firms that work with districts will pick up on it. But any other place you want us to send it, we can make it available. Plus, of course, it's on our website.
And what will be the deadline for submitting RFPs? Are you thinking January 1, February 1? What's your thoughts there?
I think we're going to probably put it on the street in a couple of weeks and make it a mid-December response time, which gives us through the holidays to review it and make some recommendations. Maybe we might be asking questions back and forth with potential awardees. And so I think, it's interesting, I see John Sullivan on the call. I think we want to get the new engineering firm on board before any of the serious work starts getting done in the spring, because construction kind of shuts down a little bit during the winter. But by springtime, we would want to have somebody on board. And so we might try to award a contract in February or March rather than waiting through April. John, can you chime in on the construction schedule for spring work on like your projects?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, usually in Rancho Murrieta, March 15th is the earliest anybody's going to start if there's a normal winter. The weird thing is the last 2 years we've paved in January and February, so it's just hard to tell. But usually March 15th to April 15th, people start scratching the dirt, and then they get busy for the long summer as the rain subsides by the 1st of May, typically.
Okay, thank you. So that's kind of what I was thinking, Randy. Maybe get ahead of it a little bit.
Okay, that's sounds okay to me. Marty, any thoughts? Are you okay with that?
That seems appropriate to me.
Okay.
And just, I did have a comment from Mr. Sullivan. He just wanted to, I guess that maybe Paul had said in his update that Lot 11 was the Taco Bell. And just for clarification, Lot 11 is going to be the Subway, I believe. Is that true?
That's correct. Lot 9 is the Taco Bell. And Lot 11 is the Shell station with the Circle K and the Subway.
Okay, I'll put that in the minutes.
Well, just because I would have gone to the Circle K looking for a taco, and I would have been disappointed. So glad we have that clarification.
And I do have a hand up.
All right.
I believe that it is Richard Gears.
Yes. From the way you guys are talking, it sounds like Coastland is definitely going to be replaced. Is that correct?
No, that is not correct. If they want to bid on the agreement again, they're welcome to bid on it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're going to open it up to everybody, and I would guess that if Coastland has been making money on this arrangement, that they will have the inside track on getting the next agreement, but time will tell. Let's move on to the next item on the agenda, which is discussing the RFP for environmental consulting services for Laguna Joaquin.
This is Tom Hennig. I got this one. We have to say, unfortunately, after extending this RFP for another 30 days, we did not get any quotes, any proposals. I talked to Paul about it this morning, and I think what we're going to do, we had three companies that were asking us questions and kind of getting on Zoom calls and looking at maps of the district and talking about the things that we're looking for. And obviously neither of them applied. And so what I was thinking we should do is we should contact them and find out what it was about our RFP that kept them from moving forward. What I've discovered is there are environmental firms that focus heavily on detention basins and lakes and ponds. And in one discussion, it was very clear that there's solutions out there that will work for us. And so I wanna see what we can do to make it more of a respondable RFP and see if we can get people to make proposals to us. It's something that I'm committed to focusing on as much as possible. I've had numerous conversations with different entities, lots of residents, multiple conversations with Kevin at the RMA. So I think if we tweak the RFP a little bit after talking to some of these companies, we'll be able to put it back out there and get a response that we can live with. So I'm hopeful, but it's disappointing so far. We thought we were going to get three proposals in, but we got none. So moving along.
What's the budget for this, for these services? And have we taken responsibility for the costs?
We have not. We don't know what the proposals are going to come in at as far as a bid goes, but it sounds like it'll be time and material bids with some ideas on the path these companies might go and the experience they've had in the past. And in speaking with Kevin at the RMA, once we see what the cost is, I think we're going to sit down with the RMA and we're going to sit down with the Town Home Association. And, you know, right off the bat, you can say, well, we should split it one third, one third, one third. But we don't even know what the price is going to be. You know, if I said $20,000 and it comes in at 40, I'll be, you know, really wrong and misleading. So we don't know what this is going to end up being. And the best we can do is put it back out there, spend a little staff time. And once we get something back, meet with the stakeholders. But we were already going to meet with the stakeholders anyway. It's just the timing was going to be after this round of board meetings this month.
So what we're looking for is a time and materials with a not to exceed number.
That's what it sounds like the bids are going to come in with. I don't think anybody's going to commit to saying for a fixed price, they're going to fix everything. But they're going to say, we believe it's going to cost this much. And if these conditions work out the right way, then we should be able to get the work done within that amount of time. We could also end up with, you know, a simple $5,000 contract where somebody comes in and assesses our needs and says, okay, here's the four things you guys need to do. And here's the estimate for this and the estimate for these other three items. And, you know, one of them could end up being dredging the whole darn thing for $1 million. Or it could just be as simple as, you know, quit applying chemicals and run more water through it. So we're not sure what the solutions are going to be, but we do know there's solutions that work out there.
Very good. Any questions or comments on this RFP?
Dude, what kinds of firms are these?
They're environmental consulting firms. And it was interesting because most of them, the two of them that I spent any time talking to were bringing in consultants from outside their firm who specialize in this sort of thing. I'm very disappointed that nobody submitted a proposal. It's a bummer.
Yeah. Okay. Director and staff comments. Staff, any comments?
This is Paul. So yes, we're continuing to look at the eStaff and what sort of repairs we're going to need to do there. The reclamation season has now ended, and so we're able to drain that down and clean it out. And hopefully I'll have some information available by the board meeting as to what sort of maintenance will be needed at that site. We know it's going to be some costly repairs that probably need to come out of reserves. So that's one of our main focuses. And that's it for comments.
Very good. Anyone else? Martin?
I don't have any comments.
And I do not have any comments either. So we are to the end of the agenda, short agenda today, and we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.